Good morning. My name is Andres, and I'll be your assistant during today's conference. Right now, I would like to welcome you all to the earnings call, second quarter earnings call for 2019. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the comments by the speaker, there will be a Q&A session. If you wish to ask any questions at that time, simply press the asterisk key followed by number one on the on your phone. Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investor Relations, may begin her talk. Good morning. I am Natalia Agudelo. We thank you for participating in this call where we discuss the results of Grupo Argos for the third quarter of 2019. With me, I have Jorge Barrio Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedraita, Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Finance for Grupo Argos, Rafael Rivera, Vice President of Talent and Corporate Affairs for Grupo Argos, Maria Clara Etizabal, the Manager of the Real Estate Business, Mauricio Osa, President of Odinsa, and Pablo Arroyave, Vice President of Corporate Finance for Odinsa. This teleconference is being translated simultaneously into English. Please remember that all our communications, as well as the results reports, relevant information, and presentations are published in Spanish and English on our investor portal on www.grupoargos.com. At the same internet page, we have made available the presentation that we will follow during the teleconference. To download it, go to the financial information section and then to the report section where you will find a file called Presentation 3T2019. Let us start looking at the presentation on slide three. I will now give the floor to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia, and thank you for accompanying us on this teleconference where we will review the results achieved by Grupo Argos during the third quarter of this year, 2019. I would like to begin by highlighting that our financial results for this quarter, as well as the consolidated results for the year, show a positive behavior in all areas with double-digit growth in income, EBITDA, and net profit. This growth is the product of disciplined strategic execution, both in the holding and in all our businesses, where coherence with the direction that we have defined is allowing us to achieve positive results. Therefore, before going into detail on the figures of the period, I would like to highlight three strategic facts that I believe are relevant and that show the power of Grupo Argos as an active holding for its businesses and the value generation that derives from this from its actions. First of all, I'd like to look at the transformation of the energy business that closes an important cycle with the sale of the thermal generation units in the Celsia Free Trade Zone during this quarter. Second, I would like you to invite you to review the strategic context of the concessions business to end by looking at how these strategic and financial initiatives are always accompanied with our ongoing quest for sustainability. Let's begin with the process of transformation of our energy business, where it is worth looking back at the strategic route that we have gone down over the past 2 years. Along this path and hand in hand with the market, we have consolidated Celsia as perhaps the most innovative proposal of the energy sector in the country, and we have evinced how clearly defined path is today a tangible reality that generates value. In 2017, we decided to reconfigure the energy business, strengthening and preparing it to face and to take advantage of important disruptions in this market. This strategic reconfiguration proposed three objectives. One, to consolidate Celsia as the sole Grupo Argos investment vehicle in that sector, optimizing its capital structure. Second, or his equity structure, second, to balance the income matrix of Celsia, reducing the thermal generation business towards generation that was more based on renewable energy and increasing its presence in the distribution business. And three, building the most innovative supply in the country, overcoming the traditional viewpoint of a utility towards a company that generates value beyond the sale of kilowatts hour to become closer to the end company, to the end clients. Today in Grupo Argos, we hold close to 53% of ownership in Celsia after having transferred our direct participation in EPSA, which has allowed us to simplify the equity structure of this business. Once we achieve the previous milestone and with the valuable push given by the market after our stock issue in 2018, this year we took on the task of decreasing our exposure to the generation business, disinvesting in the assets in the Celsia free trade zone for a company value of $420 billion. These resources have served to defray the investment made in the distribution business with the purchase of assets in Tolima in an operation equal to 1.6 trillion pesos that allows us to almost double the base of massive clients and increase the distribution EBITDA for Celsia in 30%, by 30%. Today, Celsius income is much more balanced and diversified, going from a 72% concentration in the generation business in 2018 to 62% in the third quarter of 2019. Together with this progress, other achievements such as the commissioning of over 100 megawatts of solar generation, the adjudication of 766 gigawatt hours per year in the renewable energy auction, the alliance with our partnership with Coolco to leverage solar projects, and a decided focus on new services is allowing us to have the most innovative portfolio in the industry. This is reflected in a growing trend towards biogeneration, as can be seen in the 24% growth in Celsius EBITDA during the third quarter. This story reinforces that our value proposal as a holding company is made evident by being able to define the strategy of each business and accompany their execution, firmly achieving results in the short, medium, and long term. That same capacity of Grupo Argos as a holding company is being replicated in all the business, with evident achievements not just in energy, but also in the concessions and portfolio and the cement business. In Olinsa this year, we have managed to optimize the capital structure of the airport concessions, leveraging concessions that generate income with a consequent release of resources for Orinsa. At the beginning of the year, Keyport issued bonds for $400 million, improving the half-life of its debt and strengthening the profitability of this concession for its shareholders. A similar operation was performed during the third quarter at Opain, a concession where we reprofiled the debt in an operation equal to $415 million, improving its leveraging structure and releasing cash flow for shareholders. This allowed growing the road portfolio, the highway portfolio in Olinsa after signing last October of the agreement to acquire the Tunnel de Oriente concession in Antioquia for 335 billion pesos in a process that we hope to close during the fourth quarter of this year. With this acquisition, we're managing to strengthen future cash flows for Olinsa, increasing the duration of its portfolio in operation and maintenance, increasing its liquidity, and improving its position facing global investors. These and other actions in other businesses of the group are deriving in a strengthened EBITDA of 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos for the quarter, and which achieved 3.5 trillion pesos for September this year. And this figure represents almost 90% of the annual EBITDA achieved in 2018 and is in turn the highest quarterly EBITDA achieved in the history of our corporate group. As we have mentioned at other times, our management focuses on making these good figures, these excellent figures, consistent with our purpose to achieve a positive transformation for all our stakeholders within a framework of deep responsibility, ethics, and conviction regarding sustainability. Therefore, it is especially good to receive recognitions such as that given by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index that for the third consecutive year places us as the most sustainable company in the world in the construction materials industry and recognizes our affiliate Cementos Argos, ranking it number two globally and ranks Celsia number two on the Dow Jones Sustainable Industry for the Latin American Integrated Market. After this a brief summary of some of the most relevant facts occurred in that have occurred strategically during the quarter, let's look at Grupo Argos' consolidated financial results that you can find beginning on slide 7 and to slide 9 on your presentation. Let's begin with the consolidated results on the group level. Third quarter results, as well as the cumulative results to September, another reflection of a disciplined strategy where income growth, EBITDA growth, and net profit growth of the control company are the product of conscious decisions made and executed with discipline in each of the business. At the end of September, quarterly income grew 44% year on year, up to 5.2 trillion pesos. This result includes the income, of course, received by Celsia after its disinvestment in the assets, in the thermal generation assets in the free trade zone in Barranquilla that was equal to 1.5 trillion pesos. But even excluding this non-recurring sale, income shows a very favorable trend with a 40% year-on-year growth with positive income from all strategic, positive contribution from all strategic businesses, cement, energy, and concessions. In this regard, I would like to highlight some elements. Initially, the reconversion of the energy business towards more balanced and profitable income matrix with relevant contributions from Plant Cinco Caribe and the consolidation of the distribution business in Tolima. Two, the recovery of cement prices in Colombia, improved cement volumes in the United States, and strengthening of Cementos Argos' operational efficiency. In third place, the consolidation of a concessions portfolio that is more balanced between construction assets and operational assets that provide stable income and that have strengthened Audinza's financial position. Regarding the EBITDA, this closes the quarter in 1.4 trillion pesos, growing 39%, the highest registered at a consolidated level for a quarter in the history of this company. Now, by normalizing the effect of the disinvestment in the free trade zone and the growth of EBITDA under the 16 rules, the EBITDA growth for the third quarter would have been 2%, reaching around 1 trillion pesos, an operational figure that continues to be outstanding for this corporate group. And we share it with you with satisfaction. As a consequence of the good execution, Grupo Argos closed the quarter with a net profit for the controlling company of 301 billion pesos, equivalent to 30% growth year on year. Having reviewed the consolidated results for the group, I would like to invite you to look at slide 10 that has the separated results for Grupo Argos. The separated results for the group for the third quarter of 2019 were 256 billion pesos, 4% more than those registered during the same period of the previous year. These can be broken down into 213 billion pesos for the participation method and 43 billion pesos from the real estate business. If we go into a little more detail, income for the participation method was maintained stable. Is the effects of the reversal of provisions of the coal business were excluded, the growth of income for the participation method would have been 38%. Regarding sale, administration and sales expenses, these show growth explained mainly by greater depreciations and amortizations that reach 4 billion pesos in the period derived from the purchase of the acquisition of Alpine and do not represent any cash outlays. When excluding these effects, which are simply accounting effects, the expenditures for the quarter would be maintained stable. In other words, they would decrease in real terms. It is important to highlight that the manageable expenses continues showing a decreasing trend with an accumulated reduction of 4% and for the fifth year running. Looking at the EBITDA, it is closing the quarter in 238 billion pesos with a growth of 7% because of the greater contribution from the energy business. Regarding net profit, the net profit was 199 billion pesos for the quarter, 5% higher than 2018. This positive behavior reflects, among others, financial expenditure that is maintained at a historical minimum, 18% lower than the expenditure recorded in the same quarter of the previous years. In line with the permanent objective of optimizing cost of the debt, we performed a successful placement of ordinary bonds for an amount of 450 billion pesos that had surplus amount of 2.6 times the amount offered, a record for the real sector in Colombia in 2019. These resources were used for debt substitution, providing financial flexibility to the holding by increasing the half-life of its debt from 4.3 to 6.6 years, maintaining practically the same cost of the debt and managing to eliminate cash flow pressures for 2019, 2020, and 2021, a period for which there will be no equity amortizations, providing great financial flexibility for the organization. Thus, leveraging indicators close at 1.9 times debt over adjusted EBITDA and 2.2 times debt over received dividends, which allows us the flexibility required to continuing executing our vision and strategic plan for the future. And at the same time, we continue with debt cost, the cost of debt lower than 7%. Having reviewed the separated results, I would now like to invite you to begin an analysis of the operational results of each of our strategic businesses in a summarized manner, beginning with the concessions business and the you can find this on starting on slide 14. 2019 has been a relevant year for consolidating Olinsa's strategy as one of the most dynamic concessions platforms in the region. During this period, progress was made with adding a new highway concession, optimizing leveraging of the two airport concessions, and structuring four of the most relevant infrastructure projects in the country. Going into detail, in October, we announced the signature of a purchase and sale agreement of stock for 53% of a 53% share in the Aurora Oriente tunnel concession with an investment of 335 billion pesos. This transaction will be financed by Alianza by reassigning equity at its existing concessions and does not contemplate an increase in Alianza's structural indebtedness. The investment in this project, which is a reference point for Colombian infrastructure, will allow us to be a part of the future of Antioquia by connecting two valleys with the highest growth in the region, with over 60 kilometers of viaducts, highway exchanges and tunnels, which are the main access to the José María Córdoba International Airport for over 25,000 vehicles right along these highways every day. I would like to highlight that Fitch Ratings consider this transaction has a neutral impact on the credit rating of the Ordinza's ordinary bonds, thanks to the deliberate strategy to finance this acquisition with the company's operational cash flow. Regarding the project pipeline, I would like to highlight that Alianza is being one of the most dynamic companies in structuring public-private initiatives before the national government, private initiatives before the national government, and proof of this is positive progress in the four private initiatives that are on the road to approval by the government. To wit, the first one is expansion and improvement of the flight fields of the El Dorado International Airport. Second place, expansion of the Bogota airport system. And third place, the new Cartagena airport. And finally, the construction of a private initiative called the La Sabana Ring Road in the south of the capital of the Republic. We have also made progress with a commitment and construction of the Pacifico Los concession, which has achieved 77% of construction, 9% above what was budgeted initially. Moving to operational results, that you can see on slide 16, during the third semester of 2019, we had healthy traffic along highway concessions that grew 3% and achieved on average 77,000 vehicles daily, with greater growth in the concessions of Dominican Republic, which are known as ADN and BTA, due to greater flows associated with tourism that grew 18% and 19% respectively. Regarding airport concessions, these registered 11% growth, reaching 11 million passengers during the quarter, with an excellent performance of the El Dorado Airport that registered a total movement of 9.5 million passengers, growing at a rate of 40% compared to the same period the previous year. And as a reference, this is four times the growth of the country's GDP. Now, I would like you to look at the financial results that you can find summarized on slide 17. Income was 183 billion pesos during the quarter, stable regarding the same quarter of the previous years. There is a decrease in the contribution from the airport business, explained mainly by a reduction of the income on the equity participation method from Keyport, which is the management company of the Keith Airport, and a decrease in construction activities given optimization of the working capital in the Farallones consortium in Pacífico II, which, as I mentioned, is 9% ahead of the original budget. This same facts influence the EBITDA of the quarter that closed 137 billion pesos. Regarding leveraging, our consolidated debt closed the third quarter within 2.5 trillion pesos, with a 5% increase year-on-year, explained entirely by the effect of devaluation. If we exclude the effect of the exchange rate, debt would have decreased by 8%. Regarding the cost of debt, in the quarter, there was a decrease of 88 basis points in pesos and 285 basis points in dollars compared to the same period of the year before, a product of many of the transactions explained previously. Given that the results of Alianza do not consolidate the operations of Alpargatas, let us now review the main operational progress and the behavior of the figures for this corporation, which you can find on slide 18. In the third quarter of 2019, Alpargatas ended the quarter with positive operational figures, with a 14% passenger growth on a consolidated level, which breaks down into an 18% growth for national passengers and 6% growth for international passengers. Operational income for the quarter was 350 billion pesos, with a growth of 22%, driven by regulated income that increased 90%. In line with the positive variation of airport traffic, the exchange rate, and the expansion of commercial areas. EBITDA reached 72 billion pesos, which decreased slightly compared to the same period of the previous year, given increased maintenance expenses resulting from the airport expansion. In turn, the net profit for the quarter closed at 19 billion pesos. It is important to point out that during the same period of the previous year, there were some deferred tax reversals equal to 14 billion pesos that affect the basis for comparison between the two periods. Having reviewed the concession business, let's continue with the cement operation. At Argos, we continue focusing our efforts on improving operational yield and efficiency, achieving greater levels of efficiency in the United States, and decreasing leveraging by means of disinvestments and optimization of working capital, especially CapEx. These are the main initiatives where we are focusing our attention right now. Regarding the results, I would like to highlight that in Colombia, we continue leading the recovery of market prices with cumulative increases of 11% throughout the year, which is providing a better profitability that is growing 340 basis points compared to this period in the immediately previous year. The United States business is benefiting from the effects of a solid economy, as reflected by greater volumes of cement and concrete that grew 10% and 40% respectively. However, it is important to point out that the results of this region were affected, the EBITDA of this region were affected by several non-recurring events, including the closing of the Harleyville plant because of the Hurricane Dorian, and which was closed preventively, as well as extraordinary expenses of around $8 million. In the Caribbean and Central America, we view the potential of these geographies with optimism, where we are adapting our operations to the economic dynamic of the different countries. Regarding indebtedness, We continue implementing a prudent financial policy with natural coverage of the exchange rate arising from our sources of income, because let's remember that almost 75% of our income is in dollars. This is why 52% of the company's debt is in pesos and 48% is in dollars, which on accounting level means that this figure is impacted by changes of in the exchange rate between periods, and that the debt at the end of September increases in Colombian pesos as an effect of devaluation, even when the company has made amortizations for close to 270 billion pesos during 2019. And the active part of the investment also has suffers the same effect that can be seen on the general balance sheet. As support for this teleconference, you can find greater details on the figures for the cement business on slides 19 to 22. And I would like to continue with a brief summary of the positive results of the energy business that you can find on slide 23. The progress being made on a strategic level in Celsia, with which we began this call, are a clear example of the capacity that this organization has to transform businesses and make them profitable so they generate value. During this quarter in particular, the financial results of Celsia are hard to compare, as they include several movements, including the disinvestment of the free trade zone, consolidation of the distribution assets into Lima, and the entry into operation of the assets we call Plan 5 Caribe. However, I would like to highlight some strong facts regarding financial results that show the power of this new structure. In the first place, base assets continue generating positive income and EBITDA-related results, growing 16 and 24% respectively. Although Colombia is today the most representative market for this business, the results we are seeing in Central America, despite difficult weather conditions and termination of the BLM contracts, the Bahía Las Minas contracts, are above those budgeted. In that region, we are working to make these assets an important income base that in normal conditions have a capacity for generating EBITDA of close to $60 million if they had not been impacted by these specific conditions that we hope will not recur. The business in Colombia is more and more integrated with a more balanced composition of assets between generation and distribution. Today, they contribute to the EBITDA 68% and 38% respectively. This new structure starts to show its benefits regarding the generation of net results, which cumulative to September registered 358 billion pesos for net profit for the controller, more than doubling the figure to September 2018. This is a consequence of an optimum leveraging structure located in specific assets and lower tax expenses. I highlight how agile the company has been in carrying out all these movements, which, although they generated some short-term leveraging impacts today, just one quarter after having acquired the distribution assets in Tolima, debt has been decreased by 1.1 trillion pesos to making the leveraging indicator three times net debt over EBITDA, 1.4 times below the indicator registered in the immediately previous quarter. It is expected that this consolidated leveraging indicator by the end of the year will reach 2.2 times net debt over EBITDA, which represents an additional payment of debt of 400 billion pesos with a cash flow position of 1.2 trillion pesos, which allows the company to continue consolidating its built-up asset base and generating synergies sought by transactions performed during the year, maintaining its financial flexibility. I'm convinced that the reconfiguration of the business will allow us an explosion of value that will have an effect on the energy sector in Colombia and in the region, strengthening its great innovation capacity and the talent of our people. Now, I would like to invite you to look at the real estate business on slide 27. As we have repeated many times, the dynamics of the urban development business is most precisely expressed in the behavior of its cash flow. Therefore, I would like to highlight that during the quarter, this business has achieved income of 32 billion pesos, growing over 2.8 times compared to the same period of the previous year. During the third quarter, 24 billion pesos in sales were made compared to the 4 billion of the same quarter in 2018, and income was achieved equal to 54 billion pesos, representing 59% growth. Regarding ongoing negotiations during this quarter, we signed promises of purchase and sale for about 50 billion pesos, which we hope to turn into deeds at the end of this year or at the beginning of 2020. Regarding the business of real estate income, that we are partners in the Pactia Private Real Estate Fund, during this period, an equity contribution was made for 176 billion pesos, which strengthened Grupo Argo's position, equaling the share, the 37.2% share belonging to Conconcreto. As we have done in other businesses, the next step after this investment will be a decided drive to make Pactia's portfolio profitable, strengthening its figures and its value generation. Likewise, we announced that in other, as we've announced in other businesses, in September, Pactia closed with income of 80 billion pesos, with an EBITDA of 38 billion pesos and net operational income of 54 billion pesos, which are very positive, although they decrease compared to the same period of last year. As we had mentioned in the third quarter of 2018, these results were influenced by non-recurring events, including non-recurring disinvestments generated by the sale of the three Viva shopping malls, disinvestments that allowed distributions in 2018 for Grupo Argos of over 120 billion pesos. If we excluded this effect, the net operational income would have grown 17% and EBITDA would have grown 20% if we had the same basis for comparison. Finally, and before moving on with the Q&A section, I would like to mention the end of year expectations, where we expect consolidated income of close to 50.5 trillion pesos and an estimated EBITDA of 4.4 billion pesos. A few months before ending 2019, we could state strongly that this has been deeply strategically coherent year where, despite having experienced mixed behaviors in some of the markets where we have a presence, the positive trend, our portfolio has a generally positive trend, confirming the direction we have defined, and that is proof of the value that we have captured in our active management of these businesses. Finally, I would like to tell you that the nature of
the operations of Grupo Arcos as a holding is made up of the operational results of its businesses, but also by the generation of value deriving from acquisition, merger, sales, and asset purchase operations. We have tried to provide to you in the most synthetic and clear, transparent manner the full results, try to include non-recurring effects such as large disinvestments or IFRS rules 16, but also I would like to highlight that many of these operations are of the nature of the generation of an active holding. And so the integrated mission is made up of the ongoing businesses plus the transformational activities and operations that we carry out. So I would like to thank you for your attention, and I give the floor to the operator so that we can take questions. Now, I would like to remind you all that to ask any questions, please press asterisk and then one on your keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound sign. We're going to make a pause to compile the list of turns for questions and answers. The first question comes from Juliana Aguilar, Bancolombia. Good morning. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have two questions related to Odinsa. The first one is regarding the acquisition of the Aurra Oriente tunnel. I would like to know if you could give us a little bit more financial information on this concession, maybe if there's an expectation of how much it could contribute to Odinsa's EBITDA, what's the capital structure of the concession, among others. And my second question is related to Opain. I would like to know if the increased maintenance expenses that you mentioned are recurring or if it was something very specific to the quarter. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Juliana. Yes. We will give you some more details about these two topics. I'll give an introduction and to tell you where we are at the acquisition of the tunnel. The strategic value of the tunnel is related, first of all, to the potential for development, not just of this construction project, but other expansions to be able to attend the growth of the San Nicolás Valley, and which is one of the most important demographic development locations in the region. So here, there is an expectation that this will be a project, a spearhead for this company to build the infrastructure that will be required by this region in the near future. The second question is that we have agreed to purchase 53% of ownership, which is pending its final closing, which we hope will happen during this quarter, and which we are waiting for some prior conditions required by the concessionaire and by the seller. All of these conditions are moving forward satisfactorily, and we hope to close this year. I'm going to give the floor to Pablo Arroyave, who's right beside me here, so that he can give us some more elements regarding traffic, and there's 335 billion pesos for 53% of the equity in that concession. Pablo, so I'll give you the floor so you can tell us about other specific elements of the asset. Thank you, Jorge. Juliana, well, some additional elements to be able to have a better overview of the asset. It's a concession that runs until 2038. It's a concession that began operating in August 2019. In terms of EBITDA, the first 5 years, we could talk of an average of 100 billion pesos per year in EBITDA, and as we, that same figure would be consolidated into Olimsa. In terms of indebtedness, to date, the concession has a debt of 380 billion pesos, all of them with national banks, and with maturity, I think it's a half-life of 6 years. Traffic is, as Jorge mentioned, very healthy traffic. It's traffic that overall figures before opening the tunnel. First of all, this concession is a concession that has three tolls. Obviously, the new toll on the tunnel, the traditional toll that the people used to pay before to go to the airport, which is now on locations beside a restaurant, and Santa Elena toll. So before opening the tunnel, we had around 21,000 vehicles moving through those toll booths per day. And after opening the tunnel, and it would depending on whether it's weekdays or weekends, during the first we could have 27,000 vehicles on average, and on weekends it can go up to 30,000 on average, with peak days of 32,000 or 33,000 vehicles. The fee, the toll fee in the tunnel is $60,900 for category one, which is most of the vehicles that go through that through the concession, and it's $11,400 in the other two toll booths on Santa Elena and on the relief road. And I think that this summarizes the potential, the financial potential, and the potential value of this tunnel. And what's most important, I think, is traffic. Traffic is traffic that has been very solid and important growth. Beyond the first weeks it was opened, we have seen that this is traffic that has been sustained and is close to what was seen in during the first weeks it was open, because, you know, we expected a lot of traffic because of the novelty, but after 3 months, this traffic is still the same. And so that's the topic of the tunnel. I'm going to give the floor to Mauricio. So to Mauricio also, so he can answer us to the questions on Opain. Juliana, good morning. Regarding your second question, related to Opain maintenance expenses and whether they're recurring or not, I would like to highlight that, first of all, they're not recurring, and the reason for this greater maintenance has to do with updating the baggage handling system. This year, we had to carry out an important program repair of the baggage handling system, which is, as you know, is one of the most neurotic parts of an airport. And when we looked at whether we would just carry out this large repair or invest in a more robust, a more modern and a newer system that would have a greater, a better performance towards forward. So this is a non-recurring expense, which is very sensitive for the airport. And so besides maintaining, we are actually improving the operation of the airport. In general, El Dorado Airport, when one contrast it with the investments in OpEx in comparable airports in the region, or even the world-class airports, the OpEx of the airport is very competitive and is, in fact, below the mean of other airports of this category. And Juliana, I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro Piedrahita, so he can mention two things. low, medium, and high positionaires that we're incorporating into the asset matrix of, for concessions and elaborating a little more on the capital structure, on the equity structure. Yes, complementing what Pablo was mentioning earlier, I think that there's a topic, important topic to understand, which is something that Aldinta is doing in a recurring manner and which is one of the greatest capacities for value generation. And it has to do with optimization of the equity structure. One of the objectives within the acquisition process is to look at the maintenance operation in the capacity for debt that the tunnel has, and this is what allows us to reach a level of leveraging close to 700 billion pesos. The objective is to increase that capacity for operation, which has two objectives. The first is to anticipate flows for shareholders that has a positive effect on the expected internal rate of return that could reach a rate of 80%. And this is similar to what was already done both for the Quito Airport, where we had an initial vision which had extraordinary returns, and also with the financial optimization that was done recently with the Bogota Airport. Perfect. Thank you very much for your information. Very clear. You're welcome, Juliana. The next question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez from Davivienda Brokers. Good morning. Thank you very much for your presentation. I would like to ask you, first of all, which is the effect of the holding, if you could tell us which the current level, taking into account the results of the third quarter. And I would like to understand the results, the rationale of a long-term capitalization of Pactia, understanding this is a business considered strategic by the group. Rodrigo, thank you very much for your question. We decided, we compared it without leveraging. The net to close to end the year is at 9.01% in ROSI, with the contribution of the different businesses proportionally to our partnership in each of them. Value generation is created by its businesses as well as its direct participation in the real estate businesses. It's, our expectation this year is to end the year about 30 points below the structural ROSI, and it depends on the dynamic of the cement business in Colombia especially, but as you heard and the comments we made today, both the comments that we've made today and the explanations the company has given to the market, the dynamic that we are feeling regarding prices and as well as the growth in housing and the levels of dispatch in Colombia, as well as the double-digit growth dynamic of the United States, mean that we believe we are going to surpass the organization. The company has a progressive growth strategy of 50% over those until achieving levels of above 11% in the composed ROSE of all the businesses. It has been growing over the past 2 years in a positive manner. Regarding the topic of Pactia, I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro so he can give you some context with a historical note the commitment when APACTE was created. You remember that what Grupo Argos did, contribution to seize of assets that are maintained in a restructured fashion in the portfolio on the balance of the company and some investments commitments that were made hand in hand with the other shareholder with whom we created the fund, which was Concreto. These contributions, we are committed to make them 50-50, and Pactia has two corporate vehicles, a management company where we're 50-50, and another company where we manage the operational assets in the private capital fund. We used to have Protección, but we had a commitment from Grupo Argos where we would match the contributions in cash made by the other two shareholders. So this is a commitment, an investment commitment we had made in 2015 to match their participations, not 50% of the private capital fund, because we invited Protección to become a part of the private capital fund, but not the management company. So with that context, I would like to give the floor to Alejandro. And to complement what Jorge was mentioning, these equity contributions are very important to move forward with the portfolio profitabilization strategy we have. It's a portfolio of over 4 billion pesos, and we have also received income from Pactia to date. We have received close to 147 billion pesos over and above what we received in 2018 from the disinvestments we made, where we received close to 98 billion pesos. So what we have received after the investment is close to 250 billion pesos, and we are making an investment of 170 billion, which is very relevant to move forward with the strategy for making a portfolio of 4 trillion pesos profitable. Thank you very much. I would like to remind you all that to ask a question, please press asterisk and then number one on your keypad. This next question comes from Stefania Mosquera with Credicorp Capital. Sorry, I'm getting static over the line. Stefania, I'm sorry, there's static and I can't hear you. I'm getting noise. Now, Stefania, I think that it's working now. Hello? Stefania's line is there, but it's having some technical problems. So let's move to the next question while Estefania looks for an alternative way to connect. Hello? Let's move on to the next question while Estefania reconnects. There are no other questions. So I propose if Estefania is there, we can wait for a couple of minutes or seconds. And if not, I would offer that Natalia and Alejandro and myself, we are available not only for her, but for everyone for any additional questions they may have. Okay. Because we have no connection, I would like to thank you for participating and for your attention. And I would invite you to meet again at the beginning of 2019 to share with you the results for 2019. This is the end of today's call. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect.